we kind of miss the significance of it. The Lord has been dealing with me a lot about judgment. And we judge. And it's not that you shouldn't judge, but it's how you judge that's what's important. I've said before, we judge, wow, y'all are so pretty. Oh my goodness, y'all. Hey, happy birthday. Who's your birthday? Happy birthday, babies. So pretty. You're welcome, baby. What was I saying? I got distracted by the pretty ladies.
Judging.
A lot of times we judge according to ourselves. I'll look at Bobby, and Bobby chews gum. And I go, man, how are you sitting up in it? Now, it's all wrong now. He's sitting up in church chewing gum. Mm-hmm. Those are two errors right there. Number one, he's the church, you know. You know. And I'm judging him because perhaps I won't chew gum, mm-hmm. but because he does. Mm-hmm. That is not the right judgment. Mm-hmm. He likes chewing gum. Leave him alone, man. Let the man chew his gum, you know. Or we could see someone doing any number of things that we wouldn't do or we have a problem with. And we say, if it was me, I wouldn't do it like that. But it's not you. And they're doing it like that. Leave him alone.
Amen.
We judge. And we use ourselves as the standard. I am a poor standard to be judged by. Because I got a long ways to go. And I got a lot more to learn.
Amen.
If you judge, yourself by me, both of us gonna fall in the ditch together. Who gonna get us out of the ditch? We'll be rolling around. I mean, get up, Oliver. He said, I was following you. You get up.
Amen.
But the Bible says this, with the same judgment you judge with, it will be measured to you again.
Uh-huh.
It was like, wait a minute. So I'm going to be judged on chewing gum? No, no. You're going to be judged with your own besetting sin.
Yeah. Come on.
Same measure now.
Mm-hmm.
You say, now, what if someone looked at you? Because you like to, I don't know, drink a beer. Uh-oh, I done stopped preaching and gone melanin. I'm just making a point, y'all. I ain't talking about your beer drinking. Okay. Because y'all going to drink beer if you drink it, whether I like it or not. So y'all just ain't going to let me know it. But God knows. And anything like that. And so, you know, someone would look at you because of that and say, what's wrong with him? Supposed to be so saved.
Amen.
Mm. No, that's the main thing. Supposed to be so saved, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the Bible says if you judge, that you judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
You judge according to the word of God.
Yeah.
If I see you drinking a beer or smoking a cigarette, I need to look in the Word and say, now, what does the Word say about smoking? I can't find it. I got to leave that alone. You know, what do I see? What does it say about beer drinking? Let me see. It ain't even got beer in there. It says something about alcohol, but you need to study it very closely. Well, what does it say about taking pills from the doctor? Because folks will say that God is the healer. Well, thank God for my doctor.
Oh yeah.
Because if it weren't for my doctor, y'all wouldn't see me today.
Hello.
Because I would have had a stroke or a heart attack or something years ago. I wouldn't be up here. I promise you that. But now, if doctors and medicine wasn't important, why would Paul tell Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was a medicinal thing, you know. Why would he say that? And so, you know, we judge, we don't judge righteous judgments. We need to judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgments comes out of the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So we got to learn then how to rightly divide the Word. And be careful how we treat each other.
Amen.
The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just the one I see in you, but the one you can see in me. And so love is, that's what love does. I want to find a reason. I want to dig for a reason to forgive you.
Amen.
I want to look deep and hard. I got to find a word. How can I forgive them? How can I help them? See? You know, sometimes you can help by staying out of the way.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Amen.
I got two amens. Y'all don't like that.
Amen.
Y'all don't like that, do you?
Amen.
Sometimes you can help by staying out of the way.
Amen.
And praying.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Come on.
We forget about the tool and the weapon that God has given us, which is called prayer.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Great things happen when we pray.
Amen.
Great things happen when we pray. Deliverance happens when we pray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know why we've had some of the trouble we've had around here? Because I have slacked off in praying.
Okay.
I admit that.
Amen.
But now I recognize it, and y'all going to start feeling some pressure from the Spirit of God. Yes, sir, buddy, because I started praying for y'all. And I tell you what, I can't straighten you, but God can get you. God will speak to you, and he's going to speak to you, and he's probably been speaking to you. And you know he's been speaking to me, and you know, sometimes we just don't listen. But I'm going to continue, and so that means that you need to pray for me so that I can prevail in prayer for you. We need to pray one for another. And don't make me upset talking about the pastor don't need prayer. You ain't never got me upset until you said that about me. Oh, you the pastor, you don't need prayer. Well, I know that I shouldn't be a striker, but it makes me want to strike you, you know. Because I need y'all, I'm serious. I'm not just saying this to try to be spiritual. I'm being very practical. I'm in trouble more times than you realize that I'm in trouble during the course of a week. So y'all need to pray for me. And I'll say what I've said before. If you're sitting up eating a hamburger or something, and my face comes in your mind, just put the hamburger down for about 5 or 10 seconds and say a word of prayer for me, because I'm probably in trouble. And then going back to your hamburger, I'm not saying don't eat your hamburger. It don't mean, oh, I get to pray for pastor, I need to throw the hamburger away. No, you eat the hamburger, but take a moment. It won't take that long. You know, I don't hold myself out as the big ado, and I'm the big spiritual giant. I'm not a spiritual giant. It's just the man that God placed a call on.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, you know, I've walked away from this about 4 or 5 times since I started. But the only problem is, he didn't let me go.
Because
he's like, so, where are you going? You know? I don't know. Nowhere, I guess, will you get back in there. Because that's just the human side, you know. You think about stopping. You think about, you know, a lot of preachers won't tell you this. But I'm a very human preacher. And I've got my own problems, idiosyncrasies. I have my fears. I have my things. I have my besetting sins. I have the whole thing that everybody else got.
Amen.
But I try to be close to the Word, and I try to judge by the Word, by God's Word. And that's why I say, y'all get into the Word. If you have trouble reading, they got it on. They've recorded it. There's some folks that have read it.
Yeah.
Alexander Scurby or whatever his name is, he does an excellent job of reading it. Buy yourself a $10 CD player and get you a set of those CDs and put them in and let them go. And he'll read the Word for you. And if you want him to repeat, he'll repeat it for you as many times as you say repeat. You can even loop it, you know, and it'll play for you. But there's really no excuse for not getting in the Word. If I judge anything of you, it'll be because of your lack of getting into the Word of God.
Amen.
There's just something that we need to do.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord, I got that off my chest.
Amen. Praise God.
I didn't quite know it was there, but it's got off anyway.
Yeah.
Let me turn this down. How about off? Well, Lord, we thank you today for your wonderful love and your kindness and your grace. That's so much better than words. And I thank you for those, Lord, that have fought the good fight to come today to hear this word. I believe everyone that's here, you sent because you have something that you want to say to them individually. Now help me, Lord, to be as precise as I can in repeating those things that you give to me to say. And then help me, Lord, to not get in the way so that I'll not be seen nor heard, but that you, Lord, will be seen and you, Lord, will be heard. And I also pray that you would help those that hear to also get out of the way so we all can hear, receive, and benefit from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
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 We are still in the book of the Revelation. We're going to talk about a couple of men today that just kind of popped on the scene in Revelation, in Revelation 11, verse 3. And it starts out, it says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." 1,260 days comes out to 3.5 years. That number is significant because of an agreement that the Antichrist is going to make over in Jerusalem between the Jews and probably the Arabs or whoever are against them. Uh-huh. It'll be a 7-year period. And it's going to be an agreement, a peace treaty. And in the middle of that peace treaty, the Antichrist is going to revoke it. And things are going to change drastically from that point over. So this 3.5 years will be, I believe, the first part of it, where he's going to send these men. Who are these two witnesses that God sent? It's like they just appear out of nowhere. We're talking about one thing. All of a sudden, he goes talking about two witnesses that appear. Experts say different things about them. Some say it's Elijah and Enoch. Some say that it's Elijah and Moses. Most agree that one of them would be Elijah because of a scripture there in Malachi 4:5. And that scripture says in Malachi 4:5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So Elijah is presently in heaven, as we understand it, because of what happened in 2 Kings chapter 2:11, when that chariot of fire, they say, came down and came between him and Elisha. Uh-huh. And took him up from the earth. And so that means that, as far as we know, Elijah never died the death of a man. And then Enoch also is another one that did not die the death of a man. I was tempted to try and name who I thought the other person was, but the more I studied, it sounded a little kind of futile to do that. I've got my own opinion, which, you know, with that in a quarter, you can get yourself a nice cup of Cuban coffee or something, you know. But it's not going to get you too much further than that. But no one is sure, since the Bible does not specifically say who these two witnesses are. It might be you. I don't know. It might be anyone. See, we're thinking Elijah because of that particular scripture. But Deuteronomy 17:6 states that at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. So God requires two witnesses, at least two, or 3? Where it says in Revelation 11:3 that I will give power unto my two witnesses, he means that he will give them his power. God is going to place his power on these two witnesses. These two witnesses will be preachers.
Mm.
They are going to go about prophesying.
Amen.
They're going to be preachers. They're going to be preaching. And they'll be speaking under divine inspiration. The ministry is going to last for that 1260 days, that 3.5 years. And they're going to wear, their garment is going to be sackcloth, which in the Old Testament times was worn by prophets when they ministered to people that were in deep sin. Sackcloth. And it was, sackcloth was also worn at funerals. Well, other very sad type events. And so these two are going to be wearing that garment, sackcloth. So either they will be preaching to some group or someone that's in deep sin or some very mournful situation. But we're going to see what these two men. Revelation 11:4 says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Each witness is represented by one olive tree and one lampstand. Two symbols represent one person. To understand this passage, we need to know what the symbols mean. The answer to the olive trees is found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. Go ahead and turn there. We'll take a moment.
Okay.
And turn to Zechariah.
Zechariah.
I promise you it's there. Turn to Malachi and go left. Zechariah chapter 4. Get him starting in verse 1. And the angel that talked with me again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof. And 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowls, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 olive trees stand by a lampstand and provide oil to the lampstand. You know, the lamp is the fire. The olive trees, it provides the oil to the lamps. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The two witnesses will be olive trees because they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so symbolically, he's saying that this is what they are. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then Zechariah 4:11, starting in verse 11, it explains the lampstands. It then answered I and said unto him, what are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty oil out of themselves? So that's oil going into. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So the two witnesses will be lampstands because they will provide light to a dark world. So while he's speaking symbolically, he's really talking about an actual, two actual persons. So when we combine the two symbols, each witness will be one olive tree filled with the Holy Spirit and one lampstand giving off the light of God to the world.
Amen.
And so that's what it's saying. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and they're going to be preaching the word of God, giving light to the world.
Amen.
These two witnesses will counteract the forces of darkness. These two are going to be something in the world when they show up. They are. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be instruments of the grace of God during the tribulation period, reaching out to the lost to offer them the blessings of God and offer them an opportunity to join the family of God during the tribulation period. So people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. There will be people that will come into the kingdom of God. God is going to have a powerful evangelistic program going during this time. In verse 5 of Revelation 11, it goes on and says, "And if any man will hurt them," talking about these two witnesses, "fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." This is definitely not what the church is told to do today. This is so Old Testament of them. So Old Testament of them. Remember the situation when the two brothers, James and John, you remember James and John, they called them the sons of thunder?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, those two suggested to the Lord that they command fire to come down from heaven to consume their antagonist. They're in Luke chapter 9. Lord, would thou that we call down fire from heaven and consume them? That's what they said. They were ready to get those people. They were not working alone with them. And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
Amen.
That's why he came. Not to destroy, but to save. That's Jesus. That's the church. That's us.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's us.
Yes, sir.
The two witnesses are untouchable by all attacks until their mission is complete. And I would venture a guess, and this is good news in my mind, that all of God's servants are untouchable until he finishes using them and their individual missions are complete. You can't die. You can't leave until your mission for God is complete.
That's right.
No matter what happens, even if a car falls on you. Car fell on that man, and he's still here. Jim, you ain't going nowhere until God finishes with you.
Amen.
Yeah. He has something for us to do. And Brother Wilbert, you ain't going nowhere until he finishes with you. And a lot of us in here, many of us should have been, by the world standard, should have been dead by now.
Amen.
You ever had a gun to your head?
Amen.
I have had a gun to my head.
Yes.
Got robbed at gunpoint 3 times.
Oh my God.
You ever had a knife to your throat?
Yes.
In my back.
The knife had me looking up to heaven. I wasn't trying to be religious, but as he pushed, I looked up. And he said, "Don't you move." I ain't moving because, so all he had to do was this. But I managed to walk away. You managed to walk away. You and I both know we should have been dead, many of us, by now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done some things that they were supposed to kill me for, before I got saved. They were supposed to kill me. And some of y'all, same thing. And I'm not going to ask y'all to elaborate on what it was, because it won't edify nobody, and it probably will humiliate you. So But we've managed to walk out of some very hairy situations. And I've looked back and said, how in the world did I get out of that? How did I escape that gang? I was surrounded by a gang one night, me and my so-called boys, on the wrong side of town, because that's what you get when you do that. And they surrounded us, and Lord have mercy, all the dancing stopped. And I mean, it was a, they had us surrounded. All of a sudden, something changed. They start buying us drinks. What was that? What happened? Grace of God is all I know. And then more things happened that night, which I won't elaborate on, but we managed to walk away from it. And so many things. And if we got together and talked about our unsaved life, we'd be going and going and going. You know what we say? I can top that. I got a story for you. We go on and on and on because we have walked away from some very hairy situations.
Amen.
And here we are today in this place in fellowship one with another in Christ.
In Christ.
Amen.
Everyone here, God brought you here.
Amen.
He's the one that engineered you being here today. I want you to know that.
Yes.
That's why you're here today, because of the Lord. Yes. He brought you here. And so welcome. Amen. Because he saved your life and he brought you here. Mm-hmm. And many people have not walked away from the things that we've walked away from.
Amen.
We read about them and hear about them on the news all the time. But by the grace of God, there go I. And so we need to be thankful that he has spared us and allowed us to experience more of his love and his grace and his kindness. I don't care how hard you think you are. You're just a human being.
Amen.
And you are just as fragile as an egg. If you drop too far, you'll break.
Mm-hmm.
You'll break open.
Yeah.
And just like an egg breaks and its inside runs out, same with you.
Oh.
You're not that hard.
Mm. Speak on it.
I don't care how hard you think you are, you're not that hard. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, I guess God's going to have to just knock me out and just really get my attention. God can give you one dream. He can give you one dream and shake your world.
Yes.
And you wake up from that dream and like, and you just be so glad. I'm so glad I woke up.
Yeah.
You know, thank God it was a dream. You know what I mean? He can give you one vision.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He don't have to break your back and break your leg and break your neck to get your attention.
No.
He can just come in right through your mind and show you something that will shake you up. That's the God I serve. So one man say, well, if God will show him, give me a Damascus Road experience and maybe I'll believe him. I'm like, Lord, give it to him. You know, whatever he needs. But our God is a consuming fire.
Oh, yes.
And he's a mighty God. And we belong to him.
Yes.
Hey, you know who else belongs to him? The devil belongs to him.
Oh, yes.
I've heard him called he's God's devil.
Yeah.
Because God will use the devil.
Amen.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Man,
I don't like that. I don't like him using the devil against me, you know. But sometimes he will let him come so far, like he did with Job. Go ahead, but don't kill him. Job had no idea that God and the devil was having a discussion about him. And I've been in a situation, I say, Lord, you've been bragging about me again. But he'll use the devil. He is God's devil, and he can go so far and no further.
Right.
And if God don't give him the okay, he can't touch you.
Amen.
But sometimes he'll touch you, and you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you, loose, go! And God is the one that said, go ahead on and do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's God's devil.
Yes, amen.
These little demon things, a demonic attack, you know. You keep messing around in the devil's backyard.
Woo!
hanging out over there in his territory, and then call yourself going bind the devil. Devil, I bind you. He say, I bind you. You in my house, you binding me? You can't bind me. I bind you. I command you. That's what he does. So just know that I know more than you think I know. God shows me what I need to know.
Amen.
And you don't really have to come and tell me too much. Because God shows me what I need to know.
Amen.
And them hangovers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Them hangovers y'all get?
Amen.
You know why you get them, right?
Amen.
All right, now. The hangovers come from drinking too much the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it comes from mixing the wrong stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
If you start on scotch, you stay on scotch all night. Now, why a preacher got to tell you that? But I'm telling y'all, I suggest you stay away from it. But if you're going to do it, do this thing right, man. You know, if you start on scotch, stay on scotch all night. Don't be churning the bourbon. Let me have one of them beers too over here. You crazy. You're going to get sick that night, and you're going to be worse tomorrow morning. Ain't nothing holy about this, but the Lord got me telling you this. He said, help them, Pastor, because they so dumb. You know, I have some of that. I have some, you know. I suggest that you leave it alone. But if you're going to do it responsibly. Have a designated driver. I'm talking to people in, you know, the church this morning. Isn't this crazy?
Amen. It's all right.
But I'm just saying. God is not blind. He knows what's going on.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're untouchable, these witnesses.
Amen.
If someone comes after them, they would kill them with fire from their mouth. That is so different. In Revelation 11:6, it says, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Just imagine during the time of these two witnesses, the world will follow their every move. Just imagine, the news stations will probably track their movements, probably have a regular report or a program about their next action. Dun, 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 where are the two witnesses today? They might call them something else. Where are the two troublemakers today? Where are the two witnesses? Dun, dun, dun. Shh, wait a minute, this is a special report. They will be tracking these men because these men will be doing things in the earth today that's never been done before. They could easily be branded as terrorists, as bullies, as mass murderers. They cannot be stopped by any known force when they're let loose by the Lord. Nothing could stop them. Where are the terrorists today? Nobody can hurt them. Every time the military would go to get them, they would destroy them with the fire of their mouth.
Amen.
Nothing could stop them. Elijah was like that. He was sent, the king sent a captain and his 50 to get Elijah and said, thou man of God, you come down and see the king. If I be a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume thee. Boom! And killed the captain and his 50. They sent a second one. Same thing. Boom! Killed them. The third one came and bowed. Please hear me. He got the news. If you will, please come down to see the king. And the God said, go with him. You're safe. And so God protects his own.
Oh, yeah.
He protects, and then he uses who he wills, how he will.
Amen.
I can tell you, and I'll make it brief, four people that I've watched in my career have given me a difficult time in my career. Four people have died because of this. Three men and one woman. And I just would turn the other cheek and pray. Now, I can't say that, oh, God killed them for me. All I know is The ones that did that, they died. One died after a routine heart procedure. They say, we do these all the time, not a problem. He'll be in and out in no time. The man bled to death when they closed him up. Mm. One man died of cancer, just withered away. The last time I saw him, I turned my head. Another one died of cancer. And this lady, I don't know what happened to her, but when I saw her, her face was sunk and she was down to nothing, and I ran. I could not stand to look at her because she used to be so robust and so, you know, full. And I ran and went to my office and closed my door and cried because I was just so devastated by that. But listen, God takes care of his own. I don't think he'll do the church. You know, he won't do that to you if you're the church, but these weren't the church. But that's why I say, you pray for my enemies. You pray for your enemies. He said, avenge not yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, is what the Lord says.
Amen.
I said, Lord, why is it that you don't want us to take vengeance? He said, because you can't handle vengeance. Amen. You can't handle vengeance because it'll turn into unforgiveness and will eat you alive.
Amen.
He said, you do what I say. You forgive your enemies. You turn them, you pray for them. You do it my way and let me handle it. And he don't always destroy people. I've watched him bless people to bless me.
Amen.
And I'd be mad. I'm like, Lord, if it was me, I would have put a hurt on that one. But he said, well, it's not you. I've seen him bless people and help people. So we can't tell him how to do his job. We can do what he tells us to do in his word and stay out of the way. And so I'm straying off over here because this is what the Lord is doing. This is what he once said. So they would call them any number of things. Nothing could stop them. They will be trustworthy servants of God. And as it is today, so also will it be then. The world is the enemy of God and hates him. And it also hates his servants. So if you think that the world loves you, you got another thing coming. The world don't love you. If they know that you belong to Jesus, they don't love you. They might patronize you. They might say, hey, come on in. Hey, it's my man right here. And they're winking. This is the one I was telling you about. You know, the one, come on in. Go have a seat, you know. The world don't love you. Don't fool yourself because they invite you in and pat you on your back. If they know you're a Christian, they're going to try and pull you out of Christianity or discredit your witness. They're going to try to destroy you. The world does not love you. And you shouldn't love the world. And that's an amen.
Amen.
Be careful out there. Know who you are in Christ. Just as the world hates God's servants, we belong to him.
Amen.
Let's slow down and let's revisit that for a minute. Okay. Unlimited authority these two witnesses will be given. They're going to have power to shut heaven, to shut the heaven. No rain, no fresh water will fall to the earth to sustain its greeneries. The ground will be bone dry, cracked and parched. There will be dust everywhere when they shut up the heaven. Folks will be walking around on a dusty ground. Power over the remaining waters to turn the waters to blood. That's what the Bible says.
That's what it says.
To turn them to blood. Pastor John Hagee said, the seven seas of the earth will be turned to blood. Every basin in your home will run with hot and cold blood. This plague will produce mind-numbing thirst from which there will be no relief. Blood. You go into the bathroom and turn the water on, it comes out red. Not to mention the devastation that this will bring to all aquatic life, all of the fish in the sea. Everything that lives in the sea cannot survive in blood. There will be no fresh seafood, no more crabs and lobster, none of that. it will die because of these two witnesses. This is what the world will be dealing with at that time. No wonder they'll hate him and hate them. They will be authorized to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So, I mean, God puts his trust in them to determine when they want to hit the earth with a plague. After 3.5 years of this kind of tyranny, the people of the world will clamor for a deliverer. They're going to want somebody, anybody, who can challenge and stop these two men. Because up to this point, no one could stop them. They sent a tank. Fire would come out of their mouth and destroy that tank. Whatever they sent against them, fire would come out of their mouth and destroy them. There was no stopping these men. And so by now, the world is saying, somebody, anybody, please, somebody, stop these men. They're killing everything. They're bringing plagues. Folks are dying of the plague, and all of this is happening. And the devil is going to give his answer from the bottomless pit. We're going to talk about that next week, how this goes on and how these two men are going to be dealt with. And it is an amazing account of what is to come that hopefully, if the Lord allows, we'll be able to watch it from heaven, because this is not anything that the church will have any hand in at this point. We will be with the Lord in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. You think you know how to have a party? You ain't been to no party till you've been to the one that Jesus is going to have. A Holy Ghost party in heaven. It's going to be something. Because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Is that right? Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Yeah. We won't have this to deal with. We get to study about it, and we get to talk about what's coming on the world. And that's why we have to do whatever the Lord has given us to do in this particular life right now. Because we may be raptured out, and we may not be raptured out. We may die and absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
We may not see the rapture. And so what we do in this generation really matters. If it's being a giver or a helper like my brother here or others, to do whatever God places on your heart. And not everybody, we're not all the same. And so you don't want to try to pattern yourself after what someone else does. You follow the dictates of your heart. Wherever the Lord leads you, that's where you go. And you do what he's given you to do, whatever that turns out to be. And let him use you. And don't worry about the outcome so much, because one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And so you let him use you wherever you are, however he wants to. Are y'all hearing this?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Don't try to be like somebody else. You do you in Christ. You in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And let him use you. If it's feeding, if it's helping, if it's giving. Sometimes I give and I just say, God bless you. That's all I say. God bless you. Lord loves you. And going down the road. I don't say, I've heard someone say, now this God's money. They're holding on to the money. They don't let it go. And the person got part of the money and then got this God's money. And they, now you remember when you spending that. This is God's money that you spending. I'm like, here, you keep God's money, man. You know? Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know you're going to go to the bar as soon as they leave here. Okay. If God leads you to do it. Now listen to me. If God leads you to do it, then you do it. Now he hasn't led me to give to everyone I come across.
Amen.
But there have been some times when it's like, mm-mm. And then it's been, yes. So that means you got to be in constant communion with him.
Amen.
It's gonna require something of you, where you're constantly checking in the headquarters. What do I do about this, Lord? Where do I go with this? How do I handle this, Lord? This is something that you will smile upon, Lord. And let him use you in that way. And just do your part in this generation, because we are responsible for this generation. And then the children that are born in this generation, we want to try to influence them as much with the word as we can.
Hallelujah.
And as little with the world as we can.
Amen.
We don't want to try to make them into robots because they're going to experience the world. But we want to teach them the ways of the Lord. We want to talk to them in these areas so that they'll have something in there when they are confronted, because they will be confronted with the world. And they have something in there from you and something concerning God.
Amen.
When I came to the end of my rope, when I was becoming a broken man, I needed help. I need help from something bigger than me, stronger than me, and wiser than me is what I said.
Amen.
And I can remember my mom always saying, I don't play with God. Don't play with God. You be serious with God. So I said, well, I need to then go and find out about God, how God does this. And so started my journey to learn about God, so-called. I was going to make myself better, which you can't do, and to find out about God. And you know what? The first person that sold it to my life was a preacher. He answered a question I had. It was a preacher, because it has to be a person that will give you the word that can help you. And it was a preacher. God had that man stationed right on my path, right in the middle of my path. He was a janitor.
Amen.
Folks don't talk with janitors, you know. They're like, they call them so-called low-class people.
Mm-hmm.
My father fed us as a janitor. He raised us on a janitor's salary. So I have a great respect for a janitor. So that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Janitor. Yeah. My dad, you know, I'm wide open, man. Tell me, you know. And he helped me, got me to church. I went there and I got saved. And of course, I did a whole bunch of craziness between there and here. But here I am now as a result of that. I'm just saying, here I am today as a result of that. And so I'm just saying, with the small kids, they're rambunctious sometimes. But you take the time and tell your baby Jesus loves you, baby, and tell them about Jesus. It doesn't have to be deep and heavy. You don't have to go and do a deep Bible study. You just tell them about the Lord and that Jesus loves you and God is going to be with you all of your life. And, you know, just help the babies, because we may not see the rapture. We may go on and be with the Lord. But then we want them to be able to carry on and continue to pass this down to generation until Christ does come and rapture the church out. So that's our responsibility, is to be tools in the hand of the Lord. And it doesn't have to be something earth-shattering or super dynamic. Don't look for that. Just let the Lord use you right where you are.
Amen.
Be forgiving and especially be loving.
Amen.
Love the unlovely. You got to like them all the time, but you love them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some people are not likable. But all people can be loved.
Amen.
So you love the unlovely.
Oh, yeah.
Give them a sandwich, you know, something, you know. Buy them a soda.
Come on.
Old mean, nasty acting person, you know. Come and say, what kind of soda you drink, man? What? Well, just say, what kind of soda you drink? I like Coke Classic. Why? I'll be right back. Got a Coke Classic for you, man. Why you buying me a Coke Classic, man? And you take it, though. You know, little things like that, you know, and then you engage them. You know, don't be pushy.
Mm.
You know, you need to get saved, you go into hell. Don't do that.
Oh.
Everybody's going to hell outside of Christ.
Amen.
You know, just be loving. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today and helping me to get through to this point and helping my voice to stand up. And we just pray that we've been obedient in speaking and in hearing. And we hope to be able, Lord, to move forward from this point, loving you and loving each other and loving others. And we thank you for our study in the book of Revelation, and we continue to look forward to more of this exciting, exciting revelation that you gave to John, the beloved. Be with all that came today. Bless their lives, Lord, as all you can. Help them to know that you're not judging, that we're not judging, but they're here because you called them here. and they're here because you love them, and this is just one station, a long life path for them. Be with them, oh God, and help them as well. And then bring us back again next week, according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Out to the hallway to get the church.
Amen.
I was sitting outside, saying, you know what, y'all? I was sitting out on the front, just.